This FX podcast is sponsored in part by GenArts, makers of Sapphire plugins for Autodesk systems. If you're a flame or smoke artist, you gotta have Sapphire.
Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for joining us for this FX podcast. I'm Jeff Huser. Welcome to day one of our NAB coverage. With me, as always, Mike Seymour.
Hey, how you going?
And John Montgomery.
Hey, how's it going? What was that?
I thought you were throwing to him first. I was like, I was concentrating on something else, man. I had a couple too many drinks down at the user group meeting.
We had just
users,
returned.
The Autodesk users.
We are at NAB 2008, and it's Sunday night when we're recording this.
And we had just returned from the party, the post-Autodesk user group party.
At Tryst. At the Wynn Hotel.
We actually had to clear out because apparently Britney Spears is having a party.
And Paris Hilton.
And for some reason they rate higher than us.
Are you dead serious?
That's the rumor.
I just got a text from someone that they got into the Britney Spears party.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I don't want to go to any party that has, quite frankly, Paris Hilton at it. I feel sorry for Britney Spears, but the Paris Hilton thing, ugh. Anyway, hey, we've got interesting things to talk to you guys about, and today we're going to focus our attention primarily on the Autodesk users group, which we've just come out of, mainly because I guess most of the trade show stuff happens tomorrow, and we will have podcasts on recorded tomorrow night, and we also have an FX Guide TV the night after that, and another podcast the night after that, and possibly even a second FX Guide TV. But speaking of FX Guide TV,
that's right, a special episode. We have a star in our midst, John Montgomery, and our own Angie. We're featured in a special surprise FX Guide TV episode that was played in the users group, and it was quite a hit. There were cheers.
I was quite happy that it did turn out funny. I didn't look like a complete dick. You know,
you didn't look like. I thought it was really funny.
I thought it turned out really nicely, and it was funny. Yeah.
The point of the whole thing was that the Autodesk has decided not to show technology previews. The big highlight of the users group has always been technology previews, and they've decided that that's now going to happen inside the beta program. The talk was always the word has been that it's been more of a legal issue. That's what we've always heard.
That was the premise of the FX Guide TV episode that John did, that it was legal that it shut this down, right?
Yeah. There was lots of censored, a lot of beep. You'll see it. We'll get permission to post it.
Or we'll just post it without permission.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll just steal it.
Yeah.
But as Mike was saying, we actually caught up with Mark Petit and asked him about this because we wanted to kind of get the lowdown on what people thought about this. And you'll be hearing some comments later also from users at the party afterwards. We asked Mark Petit about this and found out it wasn't exclusively a legal issue.
Well, it's not that we're unable. I think we don't want to do it anymore. You know, I think it's important for the customers to know what we stand for and not make a vague promise. I think it's a little bit of a shift in our positioning. But, you know, if you go to Autodesk University, you'll see a lot of future stuff. I mean, it's not a legal problem. It's really our decision. And, we'll reserve our new stuff for the beta customer. It's not a bad thing, you know. I think it calibrates everybody's expectations better, and it creates more intimacy, you know, for people who work with us and give us feedback.
If you actually look at the new releases, there's quite a bit of new stuff that's been developed over the last year. Has the kind of integration between the two products kind of helped speed up development from that standpoint, made things a bit easier, or is it something else?
Well, I mean, we've digested the platform transition, so a lot of resources that went into infrastructure can be put back into creative tools. But it's also true that having more interoperability, you know, and more synergy between the two code bases is upping the pace. So it's a combination of both.
Yeah, it was a pretty aggressive timetable, too, to get all that stuff done. What was that like, to fit all that stuff into such a short period of time?
Well, you know, the market opportunity is there now, and we've got some pretty good teams. So, you know, once it was hard to make this decision to go with this calendar, but, you know, the guys in Montreal, they're pretty good, and they pulled it off, so.
Okay, well, we should have explained before we went to that clip that Mark is one of the bigwigs at Discreetwood R&D, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember his official title.
He's like a VP of engineering. He's like a really senior guy.
Yeah, exactly. He did a lot of the presentation today. And
actually, I actually turned up at Autodesk for a meeting once, like years ago, the day he kind of turned up and started. I remember going out to lunch with him, and I remember Thingo got fired right before he came in. Who was that? Tom, Dave, oh,
Who David was it? Jones?
Dave Jones, yeah. I was going to meet him, and I turned up in Canada. He wasn't there.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So I had a really relaxed time. But anyway, he's a nice guy, and yet I was surprised that he would say that it wasn't legal, because I just assumed it hadn't. That was the premise of the joke that you pulled. So.
Yeah, I've got to say it's probably a combination of the two. I don't know. I mean, it's, again, we could guess about that kind of stuff here. But
what also has to be frustrating as a developer to have to hustle stuff together to show at the show, which detracts from normal development. Whereas if it's part of the beta cycle and part of the beta program, then...
Okay, but here's my thing. This is my mega insightful question, right? Isn't the point of coming to trade shows to see stuff that you can't get off the web and stuff? So
sure.
my thing is, I went and sat through a two-hour presentation from Autodesk, which was interesting.
It was a very well-done presentation,
I thought. But isn't that what I'm going to get down on the show floor? Didn't they just get a captive audience for 2 hours for what otherwise they're going to do on the show floor? Because it used to be we got stuff that wasn't going to be shown on the show floor. But the whole point is it couldn't be shown on the show floor. That's why it was shown in the user group.
That's a good point.
And if that's the case...
We got free beer, though.
Well, this raises the whole why come to NAB question, right? Because if it's just going to be stuff that's going to get out, generally stuff that gets out, like, I mean, it's published by the company... I mean, maybe they follow Adobe's and Apple's lead. Because they made a big point about how they weren't doing that.
I think the idea is you come to NAB and you do see that firsthand. You go to the booth, you see the demos, and while you're at it, you also come to the user group meeting. I get your point on that, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You get a little bit of both. You're not going to spend 2 hours necessarily at the Autodesk booth and see all the stuff that's shown.
I just feel like they've turned it into a two-hour captive audience presentation.
But that happened years ago, don't you think?
But when they showed us technology, I was pretty interested.
I mean, for me, it's always been about...
Remember the five-hour user group meetings with the lunches in the middle
of
them?
When they do them in sections?
That's
like
what I'm talking about, yeah. I guess. That's what I mean, contrasting.
On a completely trivial note, the actual graphics were quite awesome.
They were... I couldn't tell. At first, I was like, this is some sort of bizarre PowerPoint, like, expand. But it was, like, curvy lines. I mean, it was definitely not something playing back live. It was some sort of video.
Something not done by Autodesk Corporate.
Really?
I don't think.
Who designed it? Does anyone know any?
No, I don't know. We've got some phone calls out asking for people. I haven't got... We'll check text messages. You vamp for a second.
I'm going to fill... I do that. I do a lot, actually. I'm gonna fill
actually, I've just been text messaged. That answer.
Really?
Seriously.
Cool, yeah.
I mean, this is... We're not...
Yeah,
yeah. We're not joking. The graphics were designed by a customer, actually, of Autodesk, and they were implemented by Toba-san, who is the demo artist and kind of Inferno specialist based in Tokyo, who's been a great friend of ours at
FrexGuide
and myself. And he had the cool helmet cam.
Toba-san was very cool, yeah. But he wasn't speaking much, which, if he did those graphics, they should have given him more spotlight, man.
Oh, yeah, they should have pointed that out, because they were really cool. I mean, it was, you know, there's a hell of a system where they can integrate, you know, the screens into the graphics.
Now, the purpose of these graphics were to try and convey what is the message of Autodesk from this show, which is why I bring it up, which is the, basically, it's all about workflow, and it's all about connecting their various products. And so it wasn't a situation where we had multiple separate demos. We basically had three project demos that each project used a whole bunch of tools. And I think that's probably a pretty good idea, because I actually found it pretty interesting. But also, that's got to be their business model, right?
It's something they can leverage that other people can't, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the
full
thing.
System solutions. I mean, they were doing some really cool stuff. I mean, showing things like, you know, being able to pull up Maya things in Flame. And,
well, let's not beat around the bush. You know, like, let's start listing some of these things for people that are curious.
The one thing about the graphics that did drive me crazy was they'd put up a list, the length of the screen of things that you wanted to scan through, and it was up there long enough to read the title.
Well, I'm going to start with one thing they didn't show. They didn't show any 3D Max. They didn't even mention 3D
Max. You're right.
Max.
They mentioned it. One model was made in 3D Max.
Did they mention it? I thought that was...
Like the ESPN logo was made in 3D Max. That was it, I think.
There was like tons of Maya.
Lots of Maya.
Is that because it's for games?
I actually don't know.
I don't know?
I would actually not know that.
And was Combustion mentioned?
Didn't mention Combustion at all, no. They mentioned Flint. They pushed Flint pretty heavy, I thought. It seemed like Flint
was
featured
a lot. On the board, there were five logos on the board there in the five things that we saw. So it was Maya, Toxic, Flame, Smoke,
Luster.
And actually, don't think Backdraft Conform was
that
one
was
of those logos, but I think there were five logos on the screen there in the console. So yeah, they did not show those things. So I'm not sure what that means. There was a recent release of Max. Maybe that's why. I don't know. And Maya has always been, they've been trying to target Maya towards the entertainment market, I think, or broadcast creative content, stuff like films and commercials and gaming, to your point.
And I also got the impression that Toxic was heavily aimed at a Maya Toxic combo.
They made that comment specifically that, if you're a Maya artist, you're going to want to see the Toxic on your box right now because it's such a great integration product.
So Toxic was showing a couple of new things. It had, like Sapphire Sparks, right, for one.
OXF, was it?
Yeah.
OFX, yeah.
OFX.
So GenArts announced that recently, so they had that to show.
And they had a Warper and monitor broadcast support, broadcast monitor support.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I was just making some notes, but let's swing back to our old love.
Well, I think the biggest one, we'll start from a positive standpoint, was a big thing for smoke users.
Oh, yeah.
I think number one, I think the smoke users have been asking for years were batch in smoke. And they certainly got it this
right.
year.
We got timeline last year more elegantly done in flame, and this year...
Yeah, and the response from the smoke editors who were there was amazing. In fact, we caught up with Brian Higgins, who basically summarized what every other smoke artist who was there felt.
Right, Brian Higgins, a smoke artist from Chicago who did the masterclass today, one of the participants' masterclass today. So let's listen to what he had to say.
I'm really excited about it. I can't believe they finally put batch in. We've been asking for it for years, begging, pleading, and crying. Now it's finally here. I'm really, really jazzed to have these tools available and be able to just, like... not be limited by doing things a step at a time anymore. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah, so I think that was a big improvement. Obviously, a huge improvement for those guys. But I think from a flame standpoint, it's fantastic because we were joking today at the masterclass, and you made the joke, Mike, I think, towards me about the idea of using the timeline. I've been pushing the timeline for years in batch, and I have been using it. But now,
I'm totally
seriously,
sold.
Is the time to start using it.
No, I'm sold. After watching the masterclass stuff this morning and also the presentation today, I'm like, wow, this is – I mean, just being able to open up – basically put a batch in a clip on a timeline.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
The idea
so
is
good.
You can select a clip or multiple clips.
Or multiple.
Within your timeline and promote them to be another batch setup inside your timeline that actually works now. And they have things like you can turn the soft effects that are part of your timeline into batch nodes
and
inside that.
Back and forth.
You can take a mat from an internal batch setup and do keying on your timeline. This is all stuff that's available both in Smoke and Flame. It's not just one product or the other.
I think it's good. I got more enthusiastic about really fast blurs, but...
Yeah. Well, this is the kind of stuff on a daily basis when you're doing commercial work and so forth that can really help you, you know, in that standpoint. It's not sexy. It's not... but it's a big change. You can actually see how it can help and the way that you set things up. So
no, absolutely,
it's
I was
pretty
really
cool.
Impressed.
But again, it's a big deal for smoke users because we've had batch and flame. Actually, it's the batch aspect of it that's interesting.
I'll tell you the other thing that I was really really pleased to see, which was OpenEXR files in flame, and then lo and behold, lights that never get a look in at any demo ever had a little demo where they actually had lights illuminating in OpenEXR, and you could press a button that stopped it limiting it to what was effectively white, and then it would access into the 16-bit float file to allow you to grade that layer higher than a value that you would otherwise do. So what does that mean if you're looking at the screen to jump past the mumbo jumbo?
You could use lights to basically expose the scene. It was really they added multiple lights, and we're basically
this is in action. I should add too, by the way,
pulling out the obviously. Different areas of HDR.
So a light that is over one literally lights up an HDR and lets you see into higher exposure values. Now I got to tell you, I thought that was just phenomenally interesting. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I haven't expected to see that for a while.
Well, I'd so lost hope that they'd ever come back and do anything with lights. And I like lights. I like the 3D compositing aspect of
it. Well, the aspect of that's not lights, right? The aspect is there's 16-bit floating point support in action now. So you can see where they're taking that. The conundrum is, of course, that the base modules in action still don't have 16-bit floating point support. So if you want to add a mask, a key, a color grade, or any of those modules, you do break that pipeline, and because those tools don't support 16-bit.
Yeah.
Well,
speculate for me now, because they actually said this is stage two of HDR support. Hint, hint, there'll be a stage three.
Please, grading.
Well, I mean, and that would open up, like, tone mapping.
Yeah.
And that would just open up, like, a ton of cool stuff. So even though they didn't do a technology showing, they've certainly given the rumor mill like us some food for discussion. And you know, you're right, they did have some interesting Flint stuff as well, as you mentioned earlier, Jeff, and I was interested in that, taking a Flint history clip into Smoke, which had particles in it, opening it up in Smoke as effectively an action module. And then even though they don't have direct particle control in Smoke, they have indirect control, and they just, you know, animated the path that the particles went along. So they were opening up a full-on effectively action setup from Flint inside Smoke, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought the whole seamless flow between products was really nice to see and very powerful.
So the modules in there that aren't supported are things like particles, 3D deform node, God, what else? I'm trying to think out
because they're just grayed out, like the way that things were.
Yeah,
now.
they're missing, and it's the same things. That's the thing, right? Is that the DVE? They gave up the whole thing of calling the DVE module in Smoke DVE because it's just action with less things.
Yeah.
So it's effectively the same tool sets. They're both calling them action, but as Mike points out, you can do things like change the path for particle generator, but not necessarily save any of the values like the manipulator or anything like that.
Did those guys in Smoke have Vector Paint before? Was that new today?
No, that's in, yes, that's a new for them because that's part of Batch, because we had it in Batch Paint before. So for them, brand new, and that's why it got the little, got the response from the crowd. They're rotating the
canvas.
The canvas.
That was, yeah, I figured that would.
That's a reason to use Batch Paint, you know, and actually Tim did a nice job today, I thought, in the master class.
Tim Crean,
for the Flame Master class.
Yeah,
he did a nice job of showing ways you a good reason of why you'd want to use Batch Paint. I think people are kind of wrapping their heads still in the responsiveness of the desktop paint versus Batch, and when do I use that?
Well, now, if the guys are really cool and happy to get Batch in Smoke, I think there are a couple of people that weren't totally happy the other way around from the Flame point of view, right? Because a couple of people, maybe like me, were like, yeah, not so much.
Because there really wasn't as much new stuff in Flame. I equate it to what happened in 2008 release. I could look at the Flame release and all the changes, and there was new stuff. In the Smoke guys, not so much.
There were grumbles last year from them. Well, and this year, talking to people at the party afterward, that was the biggest grumble, was the, you know, it seemed like most of the complaints were coming from the Flame people, and the Smoke people were really happy. We heard from Brian Higgins earlier. You know, obviously he was happy. He's a Smoke guy. He loves it. So
let's contrast that with Jay Schulte from Condor.
Up your thing with one Flame user.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So let's hear from Jay about that.
And the Smoke guys got really lucky this year. I mean, they got the one that everybody else has been going on, and not to knock it, but Flame with a glow node and a Gaussian blur node and a lot of under the hood stuff is surely a great development for us, but come on, guys.
Effectively, the same position the Smoke users were in when 2008 came out.
I hear that. But also looking from a facilities management standpoint, the numbers at a certain time don't really add up the way they should. But I might be voicing what some might be thinking, so shoot me in the back if you want to. But I understand the need for them to move it this way, and wholeheartedly applaud it.
Well, I'm warming up to timeline editing. I got a kick out of Mike this morning at the masterclass talking about not using timeline editing. And I actually, the last couple of weeks, I actually did a job where I was using timeline editing. Not the editing part, but you know, copying effects from, you know, one clip to the next. Because it was basically green screen putting a background in between, back of some live action, and I found it very convenient just to, instead of having a whole bunch of clips on my desktop, I had one clip on my desktop, and that was my composite of about 30 comps, which is really cool.
Well, okay, to counter that sort of, you know, point about there not being a whole lot, I guess.
Well, we also should make a big point, though, about the fact that Jake's been a beta user, like he said, since the beginning of time, and a beta user is going to have a much bigger, they know everything, they've seen it all. If they're part of the now exposure, you know, they're not going to be as excited because they're going to have been living with it for the last 6 months, and they come to NAB, it's like, I got to see nothing? So I understand the whole thing.
Yeah, that was Jake Parker, who also we talked to at the show, and kind of felt like, you know, the same kind of thing, that being a beta tester, he hadn't seen anything new in the software.
I mean, I was hoping that they were going to have stereoscopic tools, I must admit.
Well.
And I was had almost given up all hope because it got right to the end, to the kind of corporate thing.
Yeah, it was
section.
Like 7:05, you know.
And then suddenly, Stig, is it Stig? Is it the Stig?
Mm-hmm. Stig, yep.
Does he drive on a car fast with a helmet?
I know
who the Stig is. Anyway, he who's what? I presume like Mark Petit's kind of equivalent, but more on the.
Oh, he's vice president of the digital entertainment. I'm sorry, I lost that slide, but this is a new. I think it seems like they renamed the division. Yeah. It was vice president of digital entertainment.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, another senior guy who gets up and basically says, stereoscopic is really important. We think stereoscopic is a really significant issue. It's so significant, we're not going to show you anything, but come back at SIDGRAPH and we'll show you everything.
Well, and his point was that there's a lot of people out there trying to jump into the 3D you know, stereo projection bandwagon, and every one of them is offering a little piece of the puzzle, and that their goal is to offer a end-to-end solution. And they couldn't show us that today, but come to SIGGRAPH was the point, that we will show it. Our goal is to deliver
They're going to get hammered on the show floor on that. Because Nuke has got a ton of stereoscopic stuff, right?
Yeah, well, we have an interview with them later in the week about some technology stuff they're showing here.
Yeah, and the FX Sky TV app that's coming out during the week. We've got some cool stuff from them.
Yeah, they've got some cool
new
tools.
Technology demos from them. But yeah, I think it's interesting. But I think that's also why they had to mention it as well, right? Because what if they hadn't said anything? I mean, at least in some ways that let them know that, hey, we're going to do something, and then judge us as SIGGRAPH. But I think it's
was
just...
Was there even a systems thing at SIGGRAPH last year? I don't remember it.
No.
That to me was like, we're not going to make a deadline. No, or did they move the deadline up or anything? Because did this just fall off the map?
Well, they did. I believe they accelerated the release of 2009 on the system side.
So maybe it was in there and that there was, fell out.
Maybe so.
Yeah, but I've done two jobs on 2008, and now all of a sudden 2009 is around the corner. So
maybe they had a whole lot of stereoscopic stuff, just didn't get finished in time. Now they've decided not to show any new stuff. They're suddenly going to have to make themselves go to...
But they had to say something, right? Because, you know, Ion, Nuke, everyone's doing something related to stereo. And if they didn't, it's like everyone's like, well, what's the deal? So that was a departure from the not talking about the future.
That was about the only one. And I think on
the
desk... I did
hear the joke of two flames was a good way to do it, you know. But
you know, there are some podcasts that have been hidden in the vaults that you make quite derogatory remarks about 3D, my friend.
Yes, they have been, yes.
Anyway.
Sorry, that was when I was in Chino.
Anyway, in Chino, damn. Theatrical group. So look... is there any other stuff from the user group? We had a good party afterwards, though, before Brittany...
Trist. What a club.
But, yes, exactly. But is there anything else at the user group that... I mean, I don't know that was a lot other than that, because it really was, you know, except for recommending InfiniBand, like, no tomorrow. And Luster having...
There was a slide that kept float... What finished the Luster? I'm sorry.
I was going to say Luster having CDL support for on-set lookup stuff.
Right.
But that's kind of a minor point.
What was the thing that kept floating by? The systems something, systems integration? Or
the systems integration people? Yeah.
Kept hitting that pretty hard, and I was like,
what? Well, yeah, except for it was, you know.
That's a group in Autodesk. It's, I'm sorry, I forget the name of it.
I'm sorry, I just fell asleep. What?
But yeah, exactly. And it's like it's a consulting group to help larger facilities integrate systems integration thing. But they're definitely obviously... trying to sell
services.
Professional services.
Thank you.
And obviously they're trying to sell it tonight.
Fill this in.
Well, so we look forward to what's coming down the pipe for the rest of the week, because we've had really the user group. We had a couple of other things. We've been to some lectures and a few other things. But really the game begins tomorrow morning, right?
Right. Yeah, today's always been the traditional Autodesk day for us, because obviously we're heavily involved with the master classes and the users group. So.
I thought the master classes were fun. They were good.
No, it was a blast. I enjoyed myself tremendously.
Actually, you did a really good job, John.
Tim, well, thank you. And Tim from Suspect in New York. It was great to meet him.
Tim's a great guy.
You know, when you read all this stuff on Beta and Flame News and you're like, you feel like you know him, it's really great to meet someone in person, so really appreciate hanging out. And he did a great presentation.
It's just fun to see somebody do a job like that, you know, and just show a breakdown at that level and the detail, and just kind of you get it all. It's very nice.
But yeah, some big stuff coming out this week, and everyone knows about that. There's stuff going on at Red, and of course we'll be there tomorrow, bright and early, to be covering that.
Yes, in fact, I'll be Twittering it. Because I'm Twittering things, which is like, for those of you who don't know, it's a bit of like live blogging, except for it just goes into the ether and it's not on a permanent page. And so we Twittered the user group meeting, blow by blow, and we'll Twitter the big announcements for it, of which apparently there are six now. Three big ones, three small ones. One of the big three is Scarlett, though we don't know yet any real details.
Professional is all we know.
It won't fit in your pocket.
Oh,
it's
a non-pocket profession.
Unless you're very large, man.
It's a
clown pants.
I have a wide. No, sorry. It's got. It's metal. It's
we're
metal,
getting all these plastic. Details are trickling in.
Yeah. No, this is stuff that Jim posted, and they're not taking orders, and they're not selling them from the show floor. Okay, so that's
speculation wise.
That's not speculation. That's
no,
a
but
fact.
I mean, speculation wise, the rumors are it'll take.
Well, for the
lenses.
Speculation, you should listen to Red Center.
Okay, right. Good point.
But what we're going to do is go down and cover that, and then the other two big announcements, and there are the three small announcements. I do know, though, that there are some live demos down there. I've been talking to people that are going down to do demos and stuff, And so there's going to be a theater and a separate booth, and they'll be showing some new lenses and stuff. So we'll get that tomorrow morning. And then what else?
I have a big one first thing tomorrow morning now, too, that I can talk about that I can't really talk about. But there's something big regarding compositing and visual effects as well that we'll be covering. So
stay tuned. We mentioned that there were going to be three killer things happening in this space. Somebody's phone's doing something in my head. We've got three things we said that were happening in the compositing space. And one of them was Nuke, right? That's come out now. And another one's going to come out tomorrow morning. That makes two. So we'll hold our breath on the third one. Absolutely, things come in threes. But Red isn't the only game in town, right?
Yep.
There's other cool stuff. And in fact, I believe, if we cross our fingers, John, you've got an interview with some new technology from the Foundry in addition to the Nuke stuff.
In addition to the Nuke stuff, in addition to the thing I just mentioned, the Nuke compositing thing that I mentioned, we definitely have some really interesting stuff. And we know we're huge fans of Furnace, right? I mean, the image processing tools, and that's the kind of thing that the Foundry has been known for, that really hardcore, cool image processing stuff. And in our FX Guide TV, our first FX Guide TV app of the week will be showing what they're calling a technology preview. What they're doing is they're working through the issues, kind of doing the stuff, showing people, getting feedback from them. Some really cool stuff related to stereoscopic. And, you know, if it's from those guys, it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it should be really, really good. So we'll be doing that. We'll be talking to a whole lot of people around the show floor. And as I say, putting together the episodes, including next podcast, which is tomorrow night, we should have interviews with various key people, but we're just going to do our round table. And that's a lot of fun that night because we basically drink a lot more than we have tonight.
Right.
Have our guests sitting in, and we just basically go through all the announcements that that the group has done. And if you're an FX PhD member, that's part of our bar camp that we do where we buy you drinks and pick your brain.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be good. We get more legs on the floor, too, which helps, you know, people covering the floor.
There's so much stuff here. There really is. People talk about Apple and Avid pulling out, but there's still a ton of new stuff.
Yeah, they did.
Coming
they mentioned
out, you know?
That quite heavily. I love the way they started the users group meeting. Really.
Actually, I'm really glad that you said that. One of the things that we had a meeting with Apple, who are here, as you say, they've got like multiple private suites that they're doing stuff at. They point blank on the record said they are not and they have no intention to sell the Pro Apps division. And that rumor, they think they even know where it started, is just completely false. And it's unlike Apple to answer a rumor, but they've gone as far as actually sort of...
No, I thought that it was interesting the way Autodesk announced at the beginning of the thing about the whole Apple. They mentioned specifically the other A companies basically pulling out of the show and that they thought it was important that they were here, that Autodesk was here, and made a big play about that. And, you know, everybody before the show kept saying, well, you know, Apple and Autodesk aren't going, I don't know. I'm like, who cares? Apple and Avid. And I'm just like, who cares, you know? I loved Apple's booth. And, you know, I like Avid.
Yeah, they would have had to have something new to show.
Well, they've got server, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more than those things. And on top of that, you have the ability to find these things out on the net. And especially with Apple, they do such great PR on the net.
Yeah.
Apple just says anything, right? And it's immediately everywhere on the web on top of that. And Avid has done some dramatic things before in AB in their pricing structure and so forth to make it more affordable and try and re-energize their market as well.
But these are only the things we know about, right? Hopefully next time we talk to you guys, we'll actually have the things we don't know about. And it's the things you don't know about that makes NAB the most interesting, right? I mean, there's bound to be some gem out there that that we discover. Somebody that's got something up their sleeve. And
the Lower South Hall, right?
The Lower South Hall, man. It is like the Aladdin's cave of cool, interesting new widgets, wangles, and duvalakis. Hmm. And on that note, we should probably bid our listeners a farewell until tomorrow, when we'll have bar camp and the roundtable discussion of all the breaking news. I want to thank everyone that's been helping us both here in Vegas and will be helping us through the week. Obviously, it's a team effort that goes into this. And John, I'd just say again, congratulations on an outstanding masterclass.
You too, my friend. Both you guys were great. Well, thanks. It was a fun day.
And your appearance in the users group, too. That was, again.
Again, it goes back to I'm glad I didn't look.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that's it for this first NAB08 podcast, our Autodesk one. And as we said, tomorrow night we'll probably be discussing a lot of the Red stuff. Tune in then. It's all on FX Guide, and the Twitter feed is a link from the homepage as well. Until then, I'm Mike Seymour.
I'm Joe Montgomery.
And Jeff Huser. Thanks for listening.
This FX podcast is sponsored in part by GenArts, makers of Sapphire plugins for Autodesk systems. If you're a flame or smoke artist, you gotta have Sapphire.
please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2008 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide.